Peter, Sir Makundu.
Good morning, dear listening friend.
Good. Listening friend, this broadcast is sponsored and coordinated by the Church of Christ, Kado. The Church of Christ, Kado meets at Life Camp Junction, adjacent to Fana Hotel, 100 meters away from the Polaris Bank at Life Camp Junction, along FAB Estate Road. We invite you to fellowship with us at Kado or any congregation of the Church of Christ nearest to you in Abuja or its environs. You may obtain a free copy of this broadcast and other broadcasts of Let the Bible Speak by contacting us with the following numbers: 090-771-62877. I'll take it again: 090-771-62877. And then we also have 080-604-11389. Again, 080-604-11389. We also have 080-338-24662. You may contact us by email with churchofchristkado@gmail.com, and as well as check our website with www.churchofchristkado.org. Let the Bible Speak is on TV. Always remember to watch our TV programs on ITV UHF channel 142 and Star Times channel 130 every Saturday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Dearly beloved listening friend, we have been studying the apostasy from the faith that Jesus brought and which he established before going to heaven. We have also studied the reality that Jesus himself said that Satan will try to confuse the world by setting up churches which will even look like the real church. In the course of this series, we did see that many people are falling away from the word of God, which was given originally by Christ. Today, we wish to once again shine the light of the word of God on the apostasy. As we delve into this lesson, let us consider these questions. One, do you know that the Bible says anyone that is not disciplined by his father is considered an illegitimate child? You see this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. Now, do you also know that in the church established by Christ, nobody is above discipline? As you ponder on these questions, please join us as we approach the throne of God to seek his grace and mercy upon our lives, even as we do this broadcast.
Heavenly Father, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you are caring Lord. You are caring King. We come before thy throne of mercy, pleading for your mercy upon our lives, upon our families, upon our nation. We pray, dear Lord, that you have mercy on us, that you lead us in your path, that you enrich and bless us as we listen to your words today. Father, we commit this nation unto your hand and the leaders that you have chosen by your own will, that they might follow and do that which is right, that tranquility, peace, and righteousness might reign in the land. May your name be exalted, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen and amen. Once again, we greet you, good listener, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to profoundly thank you for being so active in following us on this station for many years now. We've been discussing the departure from the Christian faith, which the Bible clearly describes. This we are doing in order to accurately and biblically provide facts that will help us to embrace the truth, so that all true worshippers of God in this 21st century will not fall prey to apostasy, which was already prophesied in the scripture. So on this note, today we are going to be looking at another aspect of this apostasy which the Bible talks about, and it is called church discipline. So our topic this morning is the departure in church discipline. Therefore, as we go through this thrilling topic this morning, we plead with you to have the copy of your Bible very close to you so that you can examine the truth with us together. Our basic text this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And in this biblical text, the Apostle Paul declares, let the Bible speak.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you. Having thus read what Paul wrote to the young evangelist Timothy, let us now enter our study using these words as the primary basis for this study. Let us clarify what discipline is. One, discipline from this text refers to training which corrects, which molds, which strengthens or perfects, which recalls someone to his senses. It admonishes you, it controls you. Discipline is instructive and corrective at the same time. So church discipline is one part of the disciplinary discipleship process, the part where we correct sin and point the disciple towards a better path. To be discipled is, among other things, to be disciplined. And a Christian is disciplined through instruction and correction, just like a math teacher, where the teacher disciplines or teaches the lesson and then corrects the student's errors. So when we say church discipline, we are referring to a situation whereby the church, the called out, which is the bride of Christ, makes bold effort to correct her members who indulge in sin in order to restore their fellowship with God. It is necessary for our hardened and apostate age for the church to be called back to the biblical doctrine of church discipline. Why? Because in our day, the church has become so tolerant of sin. This warrants the wrath of God upon the church's indifference to his holiness. The modern church seems more willing to ignore sin than to denounce it, and more ready to compromise God's law than to proclaim it. It is a mournful fact that many churches refuse to take sin seriously. So today, the church faces a moral crisis within her own rank. Her failure to take a strong stand against evil and her tendency to be more concerned about what is expedient than what is right have robbed the church of biblical integrity and power. It is true that historically the church has sometimes erred in this matter of discipline. But today, the problem is one of outright neglect. It will be difficult to show another area of Christian life which is more commonly ignored by the modern church today than church discipline. The church is distinct from the world, and that distinction is important for its nature and mission. The church has both the responsibility and the authority to be involved with the doctrine and the conduct of its members. To belong to the church requires adherence to the doctrines and standards of conduct required in the scriptures, the one that God Christ has given to us. True disciples of Christ are always under his discipline, which he administers in many ways, chiefly through the church. So the very scriptures themselves are to be an instrument of discipline and should be taught with all authority. Let the Bible speak from Titus chapter 2, verse 15.
Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you.
Titus chapter 2, verse 15. Thank you very much, Brother Makundu. Now, the authority of the word of God in the scripture must be upheld. And this is why at Let the Bible Speak, we continue to remind you, dear listening friend, about the dangers in ignoring the word of God, which will be our judge the last day, and also the blessings that God promised to those who listen and obey his words. All breaches of biblical standards of doctrine and behavior require some form of discipline. Thus, every believer needs to be disciplined. And in Hebrews 12:6, God says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So in the religious world today, the biblical church discipline has been abandoned, as we all know. And apostasy has crept in that regard. Most of the churches today in our Nigerian contemporary society are being controlled by general overseers who operate and run their affairs like business entities. The general overseer, who is the founder of his or her church, operates it as he or she wishes. Therefore, if he or she indulges in sin that requires discipline, there is nobody that can discipline him or her.
Of course.
Where's the muscle? Where's the courage? Since he or she is the founder of that church. This menace of lack of biblical church discipline today in many churches has created a vacuum for a decline in morals in Christendom. Some members in some churches are not even concerned about moral living, based on the fact that biblical church discipline has been apostatized. Sin is on the increase at an unprecedented rate. Well, we do not intend this morning, good listener, to affirm that church discipline is a cure-all for the ills of the contemporary church, nor is that discipline is the only and chief way in which the church has departed. You know, we've been talking about departure for a long time.
That's true.
Okay. Now, we advocate that this is just part of the restoration necessary in the church today. The way to restore the church always lies along the road of biblical revelation. The purpose of this topic, good listener, therefore, is simply to point the way back to the biblical practice of church discipline. So we ask, why a lack of church discipline in the modern churches today? Why is there a lacuna in that which is so good for the soul? Why are church leaders not much concerned about the morality of their members? To give adequate answers to the above-raised questions, we would like to ask and answer the following questions. One, what is biblical foundation and authority for church discipline? What is the purpose of church discipline? Why must we practice it? Who then should be disciplined? Well, let us consider the biblical foundation and authority for church discipline. Dear listening friend, let us first look at the biblical foundation and authority for that discipline. Church discipline is authoritative, and it is right to engage in because the Bible so teaches. This, of course, is where it all begins. If a church does not understand the scripture's authority over her, it will lead to a departure in the practice of church discipline. Our authority, the right and responsibility to practice discipline are given solely by the word of God. God, back from the Old Testament times, desires his children to be disciplined. He urged Israel to view his discipline of them in a family framework. He declares in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 5, let the Bible speak on Deuteronomy 8 5.
Know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 5.
Yes, God's standard in the New Testament is not different. Many texts in the New Testament point to the practice of church discipline and its benefits. For instance, when a couple told a hypocritical lie in the church, God disciplined both husband and wife. Let the Bible speak from Acts chapter 5, verse 7 to 11, after the husband has been punished by God.
After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5 verse 7 to 11.
Thank you. Please kindly note the expression, "and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things." Correct and proper discipline will always result in the proper fear of God. If God were to strike all lying leaders of churches that claim that God spoke to them, it is certain that many churches will be without their leaders. Another of the most well-known passages in the Bible concerning discipline is probably from Matthew's Gospel. Let the Bible speak from what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17.
"If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two brothers along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector." Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17.
Thank you. On the surface, Jesus appeared to have two concerns. First, that the sinner repents. Second, that the number of people involved remains as small as necessary for producing that repentance. Beneath these concerns is the deeper conviction that the church should be different from the world.
Sure.
Christians are not to live like pagans or tax collectors. Matthew's Jewish audience will have understood pagan to represent those who were outside the covenant community, and tax collector will represent those who have betrayed the covenant community and were therefore also outside the community of God's people. Now, church members should live differently from the world than the world. And if after a series of gracious warnings they don't, the church will exclude them from his fellowship. Discipline, or divine discipline, shown through God's people is not punitive, but remedial.
That's true.
The goal of discipline is restoration, not banishment. Now, the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers also invoke church discipline in a number of places. For instance, just like in our world today, where immorality has crept in modern churches in various aspects, a condition where by the GO of a particular denomination will be caught in an act of adultery or fornication, but will not be disciplined because of the fact that he or she is the owner of his or her church, Paul addressed such in the Corinthian church. From 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, let the Bible speak.
"It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans.
Yes.
For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you.
Yeah.
For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing.
Yeah.
When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5.
Thank you. Paul encourages the church to play a judicial function. Like Jesus, Paul is addressing a scenario where someone professing the name of Christ could be removed from the church body because he or she is living in sin. Unlike Jesus, however, Paul doesn't even tell the church to warn the man and call him to repentance, like Jesus Christ advised in Matthew 18. He simply tells the church to remove him, no question asked, because is living in flagrant sin. Now, to hand the man over to Satan is to treat him, in Jesus' words, like a pagan or tax collector. It's to treat him as someone who no longer belongs to the covenant community. The church, after all, is an outpost of the kingdom of God.
That's true.
Everyone who does not belong to the kingdom of God, therefore, belongs to the kingdom of Satan. Satan is the prince of this world, and the kingdom of this world temporarily belongs to him, in John chapter 12, verse 31, 14 to 30, and Matthew 4, 8 to 9, during the temptation of Jesus. Now, Paul further observes that failing to remove that man from the church puts the whole church at risk. He says in verse 6 to 11 that your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the whole leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you will need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. So in today's world, where sexual immorality has eaten deep into the fabrics of denominational spiritual facade, this instruction is not even heeded. Many times, Christianity has been brought to shame and ridicule because leaders of churches have so loose morals and are even openly adulterous. Not only are they sexually immoral, but they add lying to their immoral behavior. Because Christianity is under a period of grace and God is no longer striking people down for their lies and sexual immorality, many church members are beginning to think that God doesn't know what they are doing in secret in hotels and brothels. Some sexual perverts even sexually molest young innocent boys and girls under their care, and they continue to lead their churches as if nothing has happened. Shame on them. The scripture, however, reminds us loudly that for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight.
That's true.
But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Dearly beloved listening friend, it is clear and certain that many will hear on the last day, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness or iniquity." Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Since they think they are above the law that governs the church. What is really sad about this event, prophesied by Christ himself, is the fact that members of these churches appear powerless to bring sanity and practice biblical discipline. For instance, a GO was accosted by members of his church when they discovered that he has been sleeping with some of the young girls in the church. The man got so angry, he told them, "This is my church. If you don't like it here, you can go to another one." Some who were disgusted with the attitude of the GO left that church, while many cooked up an excuse not to practice biblical discipline and continue with the man that is obviously bigger and more powerful than the law of Christ. Really? One can easily interpolate by the wisdom of the law of God in the New Testament that members of this denomination will be practicing sexual immorality among themselves simply because, as the scripture says, a little leavens the whole lump. Meaning, since the head of the church is immoral, he will not have the moral justification to correct anyone who is following his footsteps. In the final verses of chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, Paul reiterates the fact that the church has a judicial role to play in their members' life. Let the Bible speak from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13.
For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judge those outside. Purge the evil people from among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13.
Thank you. Furthermore, he also wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. Let the Bible speak.
If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15.
Thank you. In Titus 3:10, Paul says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. Hmm. He gave an example of a brother who was disciplined when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, among these are Herminius and Alexandra, whom I delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, Paul continues, do not receive an accusation against an elder, except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. So, in all these above scriptures that we have spoken of and I read, dearly beloved listener, did you notice how serious the consequences were for those who were unrepentantly sinful? Let me reiterate those strong words. Put out of your fellowship, 1 Corinthians 5:2. Hand this man over to Satan, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Do not associate with, do not even eat with such a man, 1 Corinthians 5:9 and 11. Keep away from, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. Handed over to Satan, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Rebuked publicly, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Have nothing to do with them, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Have nothing to do with him, Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Each of the following excerpts from scripture demonstrates the fact that open, unrepentant sin in the church is a grave issue that God is serious about. In fact, it was God himself who exacted the punishment of death upon Ananias and Sapphira in the first recorded case of the church discipline in the Bible. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. If God takes sin in the church that serious, so must we.
That's true.
This is the type of discipline that is embraced or to be embraced in the modern churches today. So, dear listening friend, you will agree with us that lack of biblical discipline in the churches today has made immorality and other vices to become common in the churches of today in Nigeria. Some church leaders, including their members, over time, they have been caught in various vices that do not glorify God at all. These acts of lawlessness have led to the departure in the biblical church discipline, which we have been looking at today. Every believer in Christ Jesus needs to be disciplined. That was why, even when Apostle Peter, whom some people consider to be a super apostle, did what was not in conformity with the word of God, Apostle Paul rebuked him sharply. Or we may say, Apostle Paul disciplined Apostle Peter. Let the Bible speak from Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14.
When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14.
I like that. In the church which Jesus Christ established and owns, no one is above discipline.
That's true.
If Apostle Peter was rebuked by Paul when he did what was not in tandem with the gospel of Christ, who is that man that cannot be disciplined or rebuked today in the church?
Nobody.
So, beloved listening friend, we want to wish you a very, very wonderful week. Our time is out, and this is Let the Bible Speak, and we must close here to continue next week. Remember that next week, get your questions ready so that we can have a beautiful and wonderful interactive session. Please contact us with the following numbers: 090-771-62877 and 080-604-11389. And we also have 080-338-24662. Contact us for free copy of this broadcast and other broadcasts of Let the Bible Speak. May the good Lord bless you and your family this week. Grant you grace to run the Christian race in his peace, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.